We'll ask our brother David Stein from the Allentown class to invoke the Lord's blessing upon this service, please.
Our dear beloved Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is, Father, that we can lift up our hearts to you in prayer at this time. Father, we've been so blessed by this day of convention, and as we now come to our Vesper service, we are anticipating yet a further blessing. Dear Father, being able to meditate and reflect upon the many truths, especially those concerning your wonderful and precious character, this is such a pleasant time for us, Father. We do pray that the lessons of this Vesper service might echo down into our hearts, helping us to come to a more intimate association with your Son and with the truth. We thank you, Father, for bringing before us those who would teach us.
We do now ask a lesson on our dear brother Larry as he has prepared this Vesper service for us. Dear Father, we want to honor you in every way that we can. We continue to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the blessings you give us day by day. Be with us now in our night meditations. We thank you for this opportunity to grow in this reflective way. And we look forward to the operation of your Holy Spirit on our minds and hearts. In Jesus' dear name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. We're very privileged to have our brother Larry McClellan here to serve us again. And for those of us who have gotten to know Brother Larry, we know that he is very much filled with the Spirit. It's always a blessing to have fellowship with him and to be blessed by his ministry. And all indications are we're in for another blessing this evening. The title of this Vesper service is To God Be the Glory. Brother Larry.
Thank you, Brother Wes. It's a wonderful privilege to be with you here at the convention. And we bring you the love of our dear mother, Sister Hazel, and Brother Art and Sister Esther Ledwinka, as well as all the brethren back in Columbus, Indiana. In putting together this Vesper for tonight, we had some special help, and we'd like to thank Brother Tim Armstrong for all of his help, and Brother David Nemiski for his help also on putting together many of the slides that you're going to see here tonight, as well as my dear wife and sidekick, Sister Debbie, who is on the carousel over there. So we appreciate her as well, as well as all the brethren who will be participating in this spiritual team effort that we might glorify the Heavenly Father. We also want to thank Sister Rachel Grice, who is going to be playing selections for us tonight, and that with very inadequate lighting. So if she slips once in a while, it'll probably be because the light's not real good, even though with the best intentions of those who are holding it. Even though the title of this tonight is To God Be the Glory, it really focuses on Jesus, because Jesus was always trying to glorify his Heavenly Father. It was his prime directive, to glorify his Father. And that's why the end was so difficult for him to die the way he did, because it was the very opposite of what he stood for all of his ministry. We're going to pass out some song sheets now that we might be able to see later on. We're going to have only one per two people. So if the brothers come around, they don't mean to slight anybody, but we only have only so many, so you might have to share, and you may not be able to see it, but I think a lot of you know this selection, In the Garden. So when we come to that, hopefully you'll recall it as we sing it and won't have to use the sheet so much. But we do appreciate Brother Jonathan Benson and his loving effort to help us out in that regard. Brethren, the memorial season is a special season to all of us here. We've heard some wonderful discourses today that have cultivated our hearts preparing for this tonight. It's special because it's a time of reflection. Reflection on our beloved Master, Christ Jesus. Reflection on the Last Supper in the upper room with the apostles. It's a reflection on the primary and the secondary significance of the emblems of the unleavened bread and the cup. Remember when he said, "Can you drink of the cup that I am drinking of? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with?" Brother David Stein related this earlier, or maybe it was Brother Wes Kramer speaking of this passage. And in regards to the cup, I'd like to read you a short selection. "The cup he pours, I'll humbly drink. my faith in him assured. Doubts relieved and sorrows flee. Discouragements are cured. An invitation accepted, a test of time we wait, participating in a sacrifice on an altar beyond a gate. The new creature grows at the expense of the old. Our life we do joyfully give, accepting Christ's merit and the grace from above, in his footsteps we endeavor to live. So on we go, not knowing, we would not if we might. We learn to the path the Master trod and strive to become the light. Drink this cup he offered us. Drink it until it is dry. Be buried with me in the likeness of my death. We can, was our earnest reply. Can you walk in my footsteps and follow me? Can you follow me in self-denial and take up your cross of suffering, the world's scorn, the world's misrepresentation and misunderstanding, and submit yourself to being an outcast in the world, outside the hallowed walls of earthly acceptance? Can you be buried with me in the baptism of my death? Not just the water baptism, but the baptism of being planted in the likeness of my death. That you can be raised up in the likeness of my resurrection. Will you or your family members accept the promises that I've offered you in faith? Quite appropriate today. Or can you stand alone, if need be? They are exceeding great and precious promises I've offered you, as my Father has offered me. Will you accept and believe my promises to you? In lifting the world up from their sinfully lame state or condition, and join me as my bride in the ministry of reconciliation, of liberating mankind from all the injustices of Satan's reign, of sin and death, of liberating humanity from the great prison house of death. And the great taskmaster of sin that's caged mankind for over 6,000 years. Next slide, Sister Debbie. And again. The ransom. The hub of truth, concepts, and understanding. The great sin offering of our Lord's sacrifice. Paul said, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And now we'd like to have a selection by our Sister Beth Robinson entitled The Spotless Lamb of God. Sister Beth.
I know, for I was once of clay, I walked the same paths you now tread, and wept with them that mourned their dead. I know how sweet the skylark's song, and how it lingers on and on. How beautiful the summer skies, when they are seen through human eyes, and that as fragrant as the flowers, by peasant hunt, as princess bowers. For all these things by me were made, ere on the altar I had laid my life a sacrifice for sin, and was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. Unwelcome there I walked alone, a stranger was I to my own. Despised and hunted and denied, at last by them was crucified. But long before advised of this, I shrank not from the traitor's kiss. My covenant with death was made ere earth's foundations had been laid. The blows, the spitting, and the shame which would be heaped upon my name, my Father had made known to me while I was yet unpledged and free. And knowing this, I gladly still would the Mosaic law fulfill. and never once did I look back, nor for one moment would retract the covenant which I had made, or change the price that must be paid to save from death a ruined race and make of earth a glorious place. Yea, heavy was the cross he bore, and dark the way he trod. In shielding us, he needs must stand as one accursed of God, as one unworthy of God's love, a rebel against his grace, and for our sins the Father turned away from him his face. And when he cried, "My God, O why hast thou forsaken me?" his heart was broken, and he died, that we might all go free. Nor ever can the debt of love we owe to him be paid, whose perfect life in sacrifice he on the altar laid. And for that wondrous gift our praise shall evermore ascend to him whose coming reign shall make of sin and death an end.
Thank you. No cross, no crown. And truly, as our dear brother Kenneth Rawson expressed earlier today, those 8 points in following in the footsteps of our Master are very important. The study of what he said, how he said it, his disposition, his attitude, his spirit is vitally important for us to make our calling and election sure. And it takes study to do that. Let's join together in singing hymn 134, "I My Cross Have Taken." The print is a little hard to see, but we hope that you can connect with most of the words.
Hold on, we got a bulb coming.
Okay. They say many hands make light work. Let's see if that's the case, no?
Yeah.
our Savior, our elder brother, our advocate, and our King. How we love Him. How we desire to be more like Him more and more each day. Wouldn't you like to walk with Jesus the way Peter, James, and John did, as well as the other apostles? What if Jesus came to visit you? What if He called and said He was coming over right away to spend a day or two with you? Would you change anything around your house or your plans for the day? Would you? This time we'd like to have a reading by Brother David Stein entitled, If Jesus Came to Your House. Brother David.
If Jesus came to your house, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if He came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give Him your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to Him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring Him you're glad to have Him there, that serving Him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw Him coming, would you meet Him at the door, with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let Him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bibles where they've been? Would you turn off the radio and hope He hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? Or would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let Him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have Him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until His visit ends? Would you be glad to have Him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when He at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you.
Thank you, Brother David. On our trip to Jerusalem and Israel some years ago, and this is the Hill of Golgotha that you just saw, we had the special privilege of joining with other brethren in a walk through the Garden of Gethsemane, walking where our Master walked that lonely hour of His life, and singing together the song we're about to sing as we viewed the garden trees. What a privilege that was for Sister Debbie and I. And now, for those of you who remember this song, and for those of you who have good nocturnal vision, we'd like to have you join us in singing in the garden as we watch a few slides. And if you can watch and remember the words, I think you'll receive a blessing. And brother and I apologize that we don't have, you know, better lighting for you, but it's hard to balance both with the slides you'll see. In the garden.
Thank you.
Remember the scripture in Hebrews 5:7 that says, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." How many of us are willing to share as part of the sin offering the loss and reproach and courage it takes to be a true soldier of the cross? How many of us are willing, truly willing, to fill up the afflictions left behind? Actions do speak louder than words. Many are called, but only a few are chosen. Only one here and one there. Will you and I truly walk in his footsteps? Truly sacrifice the flesh and its interests, counting earthly gain but dross? Truly it's been said once again, no cross, no crown. Only one here and only one there are truly willing to walk the talk of a true Christian. Will you be one of the chosen? Will I? We walk the long, dusty path with your master. Now let's join together in singing the selection, "He Leadeth Me," hymn 87 on the screen.
Thank you.
truly only one here and one there, are willing to take whatever action, make whatever changes, and sacrifice temporal interests to walk with her master. At this time, we'd like to ask Sister Esther Balco to read a selection for us entitled, One Here, One There. And during this time, we'll have some selections of slides as she reads this. Sister Esther.
Of all we meet in life's great stream, there's but one here and there, who treasures most the better things, each man to self most tightly clings. For self he toils, for self he sings, except one here, one there. The world would be a desolate place, but for one here and there, whose heart with self hath not been filled, whose love for God hath not been killed, whose thankful praise hath not been stilled, there's one such here and there. And this hath been the Lord's wise will, to find one here, one there, who counting earthly gain but dross, would daily take the Christian's cross. E'en at the risk of any loss, God finds one here and there. 'Tis not the numbers that he seeks, but just one here, one there. He seeks not souls, but jewels fair, for those whose will his suffering share, and for his sake reproaches bear, they're few, one here, one there. But oh, the grandeur of the work for this one here and there, to join in lifting up our race, to wipe away of sin each trace, to make of earth a perfect place, put glory everywhere.
Thank you, Sister Esther. Truly one here, one there. How wonderful is the body. And at this time, we would like to ask our new brother in Christ, Brother Brent Kramer, if he would come up and read some scriptures for us while we have a change of the carousels. Hope you can see okay. The reading will be from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 26, as you're all familiar about the body of Christ, as well as Luke 6, 47 and 48. Brother Brent.
1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now Luke 6, 47 and 48. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock.
Thank you, Brother Brent. Christ built his church upon the divine provisions secured through the meritorious sacrifice at Calvary. Just like this church is built, if you notice, upon a solid rock. Jesus, Jesus, is the church's solid rock, the solid rock of our justification and standing with the Lord. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus told others to look for one predominant sign to find his followers. John 13:34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, what? That you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now we'd like to read from Ephesians 4:15. And I'm going to read that one. And Brother Ken Rawson, are you out there? I don't know if he's there or not. Okay, I didn't ask him ahead of time, but he mentioned John 17 in his discourse, and I thought he could do a lot better job than I could on that. Is he around? Brother Ken, would you help me out on this? This is kind of an afterthought, but could you get your Bible out and open up John 17? You mentioned in your discourse today, and I'd kind of like to ask you if you'd read that. Would you mind coming up? That's what I appreciate, a flexible brother in Christ. I have a Bible. And I'll give you mine as soon as I read this one. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Brother Ken? Okay, you can come right up here, Brother Ken, if you want. This would save a little time. John 17:9-26. Okay. And I don't need to tell you to read that with feeling, because I know you have it.
Okay. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. For I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, O Father, art one in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Well, we desire to have that love of our Master. Now let's ask Sister Estelle Gill and some others with her, I don't know their names, to join in singing hymn 23, showing the oneness of his body members in Christian fellowship while viewing your fellow body members on the screen as they all sing. Hymn number 23, it'll be right up here on the screen. Or at least some slides will be. It won't be on the words won't be here, just some slides will be.
Hearts and hopes are one.
Thank you so very much. It must have been the way the early church sang it, without accompaniment, a cappella. Beautiful selection. We appreciate those brethren together in unison, in oneness, singing that song. That they might be one, even as we are. The oneness of the loaf, the bread which we break, is it not the communion, the common union of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Love, understanding, forgiveness, patience, sharing, and caring. Not judging, but covering, giving the benefit of the doubt, and being patient. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And now we'd like to have a reading from Sister Rebecca Gray entitled, "If We Only Knew Each Other." If we only knew each other. Sister Rebecca.
If only we knew each other. If only we knew each other. If only we understood. We would cherish one another as a band of brothers should. We would bravely stand together, or together bravely fall, if we only knew each other as the Father knows us all. If we only knew each other, we would know enough to know that each brother and each sister has a mission here below, some bright message to deliver, something given us to do, which none other might deliver, if only we knew. If we only knew each other, we would rend the veil apart that conceals from one another all the anguish of the heart. We would hearken to the Father, heed his tender, loving plea, "Bear ye still one another, e'en as I have done with thee." Though the armor chafes our spirit, though the spear cleave through our side, we must die for one another, even as the Master died. Though the world may not approve us, still our conscience must approve, for the sake of those who love us, for the sake of those we love. Wisdom errs and pity falters, and the sword is double-edged, and the victims on our altars, judge them not, lest ye be judged. Let us share with one another heaven's blessings here below, and we yet may know each other as God would have us know. We are children of one another, children of one Father, doomed to suffer and abide. Hast not wrong forever governed? Right is always crucified. Just beyond stands our Father in the shadow of his throne, in his loving, tender mercy, keeping watch upon his own. Laodicean Messenger.
Thank you, Sister Rebecca. We're all bound together. We're running a race. Next slide, Sister Devin. I think you can catch the bound together there. Cheerfully enduring the cup which our Master provides, anticipating, and I think you can see that in Nathan's face there, or Nathaniel, anticipating the joy of winning the prize, not just any prize, the prize, the prize of prizes. The harvest is here, and it's the end of the gospel age. It's been a long, long road of nearly 2,000 years. The clouds of trouble are upon the world. But we see the silver lining of those clouds, don't we? We see the dawning of a new day. We see the end of the rainbow and the promise of God. That when the sin offering of the church is complete, shortly after will come the fullness of restitution and kingdom blessings. The promise of a new day when the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped, when the lame man shall leap as in heart, the regeneration of man. Now we'd like to ask Brother Joe Megaz if he would read to us from Isaiah 35.
Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, for they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Thank you, Brother Joe. What a wonderful, wonderful divine plan of the ages. You tell me who has a better plan, a plan that's more fair, a plan that's more loving, a plan that's more merciful than the plan the Lord has privileged us to understand. You won't find anybody that has a better plan, because it just can't be any better. Truly, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his beams. We are on the very threshold of this glorious golden age of prophecy. But only the watchers, who keep their lamps trimmed and burning, will arise early in the morning, while others sleep, to see the rays of light coming up over the horizon. Behold, the promises and the power of our God. Truly his wisdom, his justice, his love, and yes, his power will be gloriously manifested in all the earth. The power of God's love and justice will bring mankind back from the dead and eventually fully resurrected through Christ and his bride, the second Adam and the second Eve. Truly God is love. And God is good, and great is his faithfulness in all his exceeding great and precious promises. And for our closing selection, let's sing in praise and adoration to the great architect of this divine plan of the ages, our Heavenly Father. To God be the glory. Hymn 367. Be the glory, great things he hath done. And how has he done them? But through his Son. All things are of the Father and by the Son. And how thankful and how privileged we are, brethren, to be asked to be joined with him as part of the composite Christ, as part of the Abrahamic seed, in blessing all the families of the earth. To this truly be God. May God be praised.
Thank you, Brother Larry, for a marvelous devotional service. We would ask Brother Larry, we have sung our closing hymn. We'd ask Brother Larry to come forward and offer a prayer upon the balance at the conclusion of this service and also upon our night, following which we'll have a couple of brief announcements.
Well, if you'd like to stand while we have this prayer, since you've been sitting there a while, then we can be seated for the announcements. Our most kind and most loving Heavenly Father, how much we love you. And how much we love your Son. And how humble we are that you called us out of the miry pit and set us upon a rock. And gave us justification that we could be sharers in filling up the afflictions left behind. There's nothing worthy within us except we have his merit, of which we appropriate on our behalf, that we might enlist ourselves as soldiers of the cross in this marvelous, marvelous privilege of being part of the second Eve to bless all the families of the earth and a plan so glorious, so grand, that it's far beyond human imagination and appreciation. Dear Father, we thank thee for this convention and for all the participants of it in a variety of ways, all the loving hands that have cared and shared and put together that which would be edifying to the body in love and a glory to thy name. Now go with us in fellowship one with each other, that we may walk more and more circumspectly in the footsteps of our beloved Master. And to this we give thee praise and adoration through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We've been asked to encourage each of us to consider the songs in the night privately. There's a young adult study this evening. Brother Joe Megas will be leading that study at the Holiday Inn, as you